you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. Knowing you're near, so good to see you. I hope that it's clear. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, February 11th, 2026. It's going to be a Testimony Tuesday on Wednesday, everyone. In fact, you know how much I love Testimony Tuesdays. And we did this last week. And yesterday, if you were tuned in, you heard from Bishop Jonathan Franklin. He's one of our board members. He's a pastor in Springfield. He also serves as the Springfield and Vicinity Ministerial Alliance President. A dear friend. And yesterday, if you were tuned in, he shared his passion for reaching the lost, his desire that all come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he talked about this book that he's been fascinated by. In fact, he's in his third read of it. It's called Praying Effectively for the Lost. And he handed it out to the Ministerial Alliance members. And he's hand mailing them, I think, to every pastor in Springfield in the coming days. He's worked with the author, Lee Thomas, who I think has now sent him 4 or 5 cases of these books. Well, I'm holding it in my hand. I read it up last night. It's about, 61 pages. Listening friend, you're going to want a copy of this, and you're going to stay engaged with today's program, because at the last minute, I was able to pull Lee Thomas on the phone lines with me. We didn't get to do any show prep or talk much, but I finished this book late last night, and I'm very excited on how practical and useful and God-honoring his thoughts and his sharing is. The book is called Praying Effectively for the Lost, and in the few minutes that I've talked with him on the phone, Lee, welcome to the Great News Radio, Great News Media, the WLUJ family of stations, and learning. I guess you have 5 other books, one coming out in the next week or two. And so what would you like the listener to know about you and some of your own faith journey before we talk about this book, Praying Effectively for the Lost?
Well, basically, I've pastored a Southern Baptist church for 32 years. And in 2004, God led me into full-time evangelism. So for the last 22 years, I've been an itinerant evangelist. And the Yellow Book came out in 2003, so it's been out for 23 years now. And I did seminars on the material probably 2 or 3 years before I wrote the book. So I've been teaching a purpose for a long time now. And I would go and do a Saturday seminar on praying for the lost, and I felt like I had accomplished more than if I'd been preaching at my own church for a whole month. So I realized what I was doing with praying for the lost was a lot more effective than just pastoring a church, and God just really kind of put pressure on me to go into full-time evangelism. So in September of 2004, that's what I did. So for the last 22 years now, I've just been traveling and preaching and teaching this book, and I've written other books, and I teach them also. I just finished a book on faith, and it's not printed yet. I hopefully get it to the printers next week. But I teach seminars on it, and so it's just been a good journey for me in doing God's work. And I just feel like I accomplished so much more as an evangelist because the material that God's given me is so crucial to the lives of people that it's getting more spread abroad more. Mm-hmm. The Little Yellow Book has been printed in about 40 different languages, and we've got about 2 million copies in print in those languages, so it's just gone all over the world. It's been an awesome journey for me. Before I wrote the book, I was in the process of writing the book, and God said I wanted it in the hands of millions of people. He spoke to me, and it just kind of blew me away, and I'm saying, God, nobody even knows my name. How are we going to get this book in the hands of millions of people? But it was his thing, not mine. Mm-hmm. And so it's actually happened now that it's in the hands of millions of people. So it's just been a good journey.
Yeah, the version that I have, it says over 1 million printed. And I thought to myself, wow, this is pretty interesting. And you have a quote on the back from Charles Spurgeon and a mother in Kansas City that's read it 60 times. And I know Bishop Franklin, he's read it like he's in his third read now or completed three reads. So Pastor Franklin was saying, I've been a pastor for 40 or so years, but some of the principles and some of the thoughts in this book have revolutionized my way of praying for the lost. And so he was so excited. I thought, could I pull off getting you on today's edition? So listening, friend, if you missed yesterday's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org and WLUJ.org. But it was a little testimony time with Bishop Franklin and why he loves this book and feels like everyone needs to read it, especially the pastors. But take us through a little of your own faith journey, because as you mentioned, you've been a pastor for many years and an evangelist. But somebody tuned in maybe hasn't started a faith journey yet. They kind of have an idea what a pastor does, but what does an evangelist do? So share a little of your testimony and the important role that evangelist has.
Well, I got drafted in March of 1969, and part of my training was in Key West, Florida. I was 20 years old. I got saved at the age of 10 and baptized, and God had been dealing with me since I was probably 17 or 18 years old about being a preacher. And so I've just got a shy personality, and I just say, Lord, I can't do that. You know, I can't stand before people and talk. But in my heart, I knew that's what God wanted me to do. And I finally surrendered to be a preacher. And then I got drafted, and I spent some time in Key West, Florida. I got into a church that was a real soul-winning church. Mm. Key West is a military town. We've got Army, Navy, you know, all that down there. And I had a buddy that was in the Air Force. His name was Reuben Morales. I'll never forget him. Nearly every Sunday, he was bringing somebody to church he had led to the Lord. Mm. Well, I had never led anybody to the Lord. And I began to doubt my salvation. Hmm. I went and talked to my pastor. I said, brother, I'm not even sure I'm saved because these guys are winning souls. I've never won a soul. And he assured me that wasn't true. And God gave me the assurance I was saved. But anyway, I started going soul winning, and God just really broke my heart for souls. He filled me with the Spirit. And I'd go down on Duval Street in Key West, Florida, and most nights of the week just stop strangers and tell them about Jesus. And one night I stopped a young man. He was a shrimper. I was 20, and he was probably 23 or 24. And I started witnessing to him about the Lord, and suddenly he just turned around and started running down the sidewalk, and I took off after him. I was in better shape than him, I guess. I chased him down and caught him and kept telling him about Jesus, and he got saved and went to church over that Sunday and got baptized, and God just totally changed his life. And so anyway, my pastor asked me, said, Lee, what you want to do when you get out of the service? I said, I want to be an evangelist, because I felt like evangelists won more souls than anybody else, you know. So usually when a church has an evangelist comes in, they're expecting a harvest of souls. Anyway, after I came back to Vietnam, I moved to Orange, Texas, because I'd met a preacher in Key West that was running from the Lord, and he and I would go down on street corners and preach in Key West. And he moved back and started pastoring a church in Orange, Texas. So I moved down to be with him and went to work in the shipyard. And not long after that, I started pastoring a mission church. But I remember one day crying out, I said, God, I want to win the world of Christ. He had given me such a passion for souls. And he said, well, start with Orange, Texas. And so I just started knocking on doors, people I didn't even know, telling them about Jesus. And God did a great work. But I pastored for 32 years. Before finally God led me into full-time evangelism. That was after I'd written the Yellow Book. So an evangelist is one who's really interested in souls being saved. And so that's the passion of my life. I was in Greensburg, Kentucky in the fall of 2010. And God spoke to me while I was there. I was staying with a pastor and his wife. And he said, Lee, I want you to take my people to the next level. And at that point, I wasn't even sure what he meant. But I called my son, Andy, who was working for our ministry at the time, and I said, Andy, God just spoke to him and said he wants me to take my people to the next level. He said, Daddy, you may not believe this, but God has spoken to me the same thing. Hmm. And so when I got home just before Thanksgiving of 2010, we talked about it and prayed about it and felt like God wanted us to start a home Bible study in our living room. And that happened in January of 2011. And after a few months, we started a Thursday night Bible study, and we just invited anybody that wanted to come to come. We had 15, 20, or 30 people come. And when I was there, not on the road, I'd share what God was showing me. And when I was gone, Andy was sharing what God was showing him. And after a few months, folks said, hey, let's start a church. Well, I wasn't interested in that because I was in evangelism, and I'd pastored for 32 years, and I didn't want to pastor anymore. I wanted to stay in evangelism. But Andy felt led to start a church. And so in October of 2012, we rented a building and started a church, and Andy was the pastor, and 750 in the service. And we baptized 123 people last year.
Hmm.
And so if God gives you a passion, if you surrender to his will, he'll cause that passion to come into fruition. And so that's what's happened in our lives. Andy's the pastor, and I'm still on the road traveling, and a lot of people getting saved every year over here, and it's just been a wonderful thing.
And when you say, for the listener maybe unfamiliar with some of the Christian terminology, when somebody is getting saved, what does that mean? And maybe somebody tuned in today, because I opened up with that 2 Corinthians 4:4. Maybe they're blinded to the fact of God's love and the redemptive plan and that Jesus died for their sin. And I'm thinking, I could have you on for a series of many, many programs. And I want to cover this book, too. But
yeah. For
that listener today, that's, what are they talking about being saved and salvation and Jesus dying for my sins? What does that all mean?
Well, it means to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're born into sin. That's what the psalmist said. And so every person born in this world does not have a relationship with God. So that's what being saved means. You get a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, you have to realize that you need that. And then somebody shares the gospel with you. And the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And we're saved. The person is saved or changed or born again. You know, the New Testament uses the phraseology, born again. It means you become a new creature spiritually.
Hmm.
Before you're saved, the Bible says you're dead in sins. And when you get born again, you come alive. And so one of the books I've written is called Life's Best Kept Secret. And it deals with how God created us, spirit, soul, and body. We are a trichotomy, just like God is a trichotomy. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so we are spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit is what we relate to God with. But a person who is lost or does not know God, the spirit is, the word is dead in trespass and sin, but your spirit's not dead, it's still alive. It's just disconnected from God. And so our spirit is what we connect to God with. So when you get born again, only your spirit is born again. And so your soul is how you connect with yourself and people. It's mind, will, and emotions. And then your body is the house in which your spirit and soul live. But when you get born again, your soul is not born again. Your mind is not born again. Your will is not born again. Your emotions are not born again. People who are saved, they still have negative emotions sometimes. They still make bad decisions sometimes. Your will is your choice maker. And so the problem with a Christian, when they have problems in their life, it's always the soul. And so that's what that book deals with. So being born again means that you realize that you need a Savior, and God changes your life when you trust him. For example, about 3 weeks ago, a man named Jimmy came to our church and talked to my son, Andy. And he said, I've been to two pastors, and they told me I'm not ready to get saved yet. But he was a mess. And then Andy talked to him about the Lord, showed him how to be saved. He prayed to the Lord to save him. And a couple of days later, we had a special meeting at church. And I met him and talked to him for quite a while. And he said, after I got saved, he said, I wept for 4 hours. And I mean, all the junk poured out in his life. And he was baptized a few days ago. It totally changed his life. And so I saw him at church yesterday, and he was just a big smile on his face. And he said, man, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. He was just living for the Lord. And so that's what the thing is about being saved, is you're trusting Christ to be your Lord and Savior. And everybody has to do that. It doesn't come because you're born into a Christian family. It's a personal decision that every person must make.
In case you just tuned in, I have Lee Thomas on the phone with me. As mentioned in a little bit of his introduction, he's pastored for many years. He's currently an evangelist, traveling all over the country, sharing on many different topics, especially praying effectively for the lost. But he has another book coming up about faith, and he's written 3 or 4 other books. And so I'm just getting to know him. This was pulled together very quickly because yesterday I had Bishop Franklin on, and he talked about this book that's transforming his prayer life and his heart for the lost. The book is called Praying Effectively for the Lost. And you can find out more at PelMinistries.org, Pel, P-E-L, Ministries.org. And I might even figure out how to get Lee in our community maybe in the fall to help with a little revival or some sharing or teaching time. I think he's going to be in Springfield in March. Bishop Franklin's working on him coming and speaking to the pastors and ministry leaders. But there's so much to your story, and I want to save, if you can come back, maybe next Testimony Tuesday, we'll talk about this book. But there's a listener, Lee, that maybe is struggling right now because of sin in their life, or they've fallen away from the Lord, or they've never realized that Almighty Sovereign God, the creator of the universe, the sender of himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, who paid the penalty for our sins. Now, they may recognize that they've fallen short, that there's sin in their lives, like all of us, but they haven't come to the knowledge that Jesus paid the price for their sin, that if they accept Jesus and recognize him as Lord and Savior, they can be saved and filled by the Holy Spirit and look at life in a meaningful way, that they can be ambassadors for God. So help take that listener through the importance of recognizing Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Well, one of the main things that happens when a person gets what we call get saved is you have a peace that comes over you. And if you don't have that peace, if somebody talks about death and you're afraid of dying, or somebody mentions hell and it scares you, then you don't have the peace that you need. And the only way to get that peace is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. So when you come to him and you trust him to save you, he changes your life. So here's what you have to realize, that you need to be saved, that Jesus is the only Savior. There's no other way to get to heaven. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, there's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you don't have that peace in your heart, it doesn't mean you've lived a wicked life. Some people are good moral people, but they've never had an experience with the Lord Jesus. So nobody that's moral will get you into heaven. There's good people in the world, but they just don't know Jesus. So that is the key. He is the way to heaven. There is no other. Like Jimmy. Jimmy was lost. He knew he was lost. He was miserable. He went to two different places before he came to my son, Andy. And Andy shared the gospel with him. He got saved, and it totally changed his life. And so you may not be in the depth of sin that Jimmy was in, but you still need the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's what you do. You realize that you need to be saved. You need Jesus as your Savior. And you understand that Jesus died on the cross for your sin. He paid our sin debt on Calvary. John 3:16, probably the most well-known verse in the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so if you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you, he was buried, he rose again the third day, and you put your faith and trust in that, he will save you. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Christ has saved you, will be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord wants every person to be saved. And so if you'll just understand, hey, I need to be saved, I believe Jesus is the Savior, and you pray a simple prayer, Lord, I'm trusting you to save me, to forgive me my sins, take me to heaven when I die. If you'll pray a simple prayer like that, meaning it in your heart, then the Lord will save you. Now, if you don't mean it, it won't do you any good. They're just words. But if you mean it in your heart, the Lord will save you, and he'll change your life. I'll guarantee you that.
You know, Lee, I think most of us, most everyone probably tuned in, recognizes that they've fallen short. They may not call it sin necessarily, but they know they've missed the mark. They know they've not measured up. They know they've hurt people's feelings. They've gossiped. They've stolen, you know, a host of different things. But do you think it's pride, or is it this verse that we read and opened up the program, this 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God? And I think I'm going to leave this as a teaser to tune in next Tuesday to find out your answer, because this is a powerful verse, and your book, Praying Effectively for the Lost, I think helps answer what is that obstacle that many people that haven't come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because when you recognize God's love and you embrace that he paid the penalty, the punishment that we all deserved, he paid, Jesus paid on the cross, his shed blood He paid it for all of us. When we recognize that, we're like, why does God love me so much? Why would he do that? So next Tuesday, I'm going to have you answer that a little more fully and talk most of the program about praying effectively for the lost. And let me close out the program, listening friend. Stop by PELMinistries.org. That's P-E-L ministries.org to find out more about this and other books by Lee Thomas, my special guest on today, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. And maybe you can't wait and you want to get a hold of Lee as soon as possible. You can email him at userlee, like user, U-S-E-R-L-E-E, that's his name, 484 at AOL.com, userlee, 484 at AOL.com. We'll have him back on Testimony Tuesday to hear a little more about his own faith journey, how he came to Christ, and how he's serving the Lord currently as an evangelist and an author, and this praying effectively for the lost. It's a short book, like I mentioned, I think 61 pages, but it's transformational in how to help you recognize how people are blind and how we can pray more effectively for them to come to know the love of God through Jesus Christ. Well, Lee, I know we threw this together at the very last minute, and there's so much more to your story in your books, and especially this one that I know many of our listeners will want to read and have as a resource. So we'll get you back for Testimony Tuesday, and thank you for and the last minute carving out time for today's edition of Mark and Friends.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right, listening friend, praying effectively for the lost. Do you have a loved one, a neighbor, someone you work with, a friend down the street that hasn't come to the understanding that God loves them and has a plan and purpose for their life? Well, you can learn through this book that there's ways to usher in God's kingdom presence and influence into their minds and hearts as we learn to pray effectively for the lost. If you want to find out more, stop by PELMinistries.org, PELMinistries.org, and tune in again next Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, as we'll have Lee back to talk about this book and his own faith journey. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to hear it again, or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.